Today we're going to look at Mark chapter 13. I'm going to try to help put it in context as we do that. Bill and Gloria Gaither were cutting edge in the Christian music. They still sing right now, but they're older. But back in 1970, do you realize I got saved in 1970? That means I was 16 years old. I was born in 1954. In 1970, Bill and Gloria Gaither were very popular at that point, so they're older than me. But the thing that they had, this song just stuck out to me above all the other songs that Bill and Gloria Gaither sang. And that song was "The King Is Coming." I want to reiterate what that message of that song was, because it really comes right out of Mark chapter 13. In dramatic voice, they always began the song talking first. He said, "The marketplace is empty, no more traffic in the streets, all the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat." Then the music begins to swell. "Busy housewives cease their labors, in the courtroom no debate, work on all suspended." Then we're coming to a climax in the music in the background as the king comes through the gate. Now, that dramatic surges to get to the chorus, which it does every time, and of course every time chills went up and down my spine. "Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. He's coming for me." That message is still strong, and it's still real, and it's still vital to our hearts. We've got to be able to hold on to that kind of a message no matter what the climate of the world is. Our king is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Just imagine, Jesus is coming back for us. His return is a matter of prophecy. But Christians and Christianity is both in history and in prophecy. And so we begin to see that the timeline and the time flow of Christianity fits majestically into God's plan of the Old Testament as it flows into the New Testament. History and prophecy converged because everything about Jesus was foretold to happen just as it said for 4,000 years. 4,000 years of prophecy, and then all of a sudden the culmination of a baby being born in a manger took place right in front of everybody's eyes. The most important event in the human history occurred when the Son of Man came to earth, and his coming was prophesied accurately. Everything happened just as the Bible said it would. Each prophecy was fulfilled with meticulous exactness, and you can expect his return, his second return, will come with just the same meticulous exactness. The only problem is we see the meticulous exactness when we look back. It's hard to see it when it's happening right now. And that's the same thing of the first century. They knew there was a sense of excitement in the air that the Messiah was coming. The Messiah was about to come. And they were with anticipation at the time, even at the time of Jesus' birth. That's why Pilate got so concerned about a baby being born that could become the king, because he didn't want another king, so he made sure that that baby wouldn't become a king by killing all the babies 3 years and under, trying to kill the Messiah. That's how strong the message was in the air. The Messiah is about to come. The Messiah is about to be here. The first century knew it was about to happen, but they didn't know what to do about it. And where is he? Is he going to be over here? Is he going to be over here? Where is he coming at? Is he going to come in Jerusalem? That makes sense to me. Come right down. That's his city. That's the holy city. But no, he didn't come in Jerusalem. He came outside Jerusalem, just south of Jerusalem. I don't know, maybe 30 miles. I'm not sure how far it is. It's not very far. You can hop in a car and drive down to it. But you can't do it now because it's such troubled territories between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, because Bethlehem is now primarily a Muslim territory. And obviously, there's tensions between the two. And so Christians can get over the line, and so can Muslims, but you go through barriers to get through it. And so it fascinates me that that today's world is still caught up in struggles between Jew and Gentile, between the message of the gospel and the message of Christ, and trying to hold that message back. Because you see, the Muslim world doesn't want you to believe that Jesus is a Messiah because they have another Messiah in mind. But unfortunately, the Jew had another Messiah in mind also. And because they had another Messiah in mind, they totally missed it. Jesus came and they missed it. They were anticipating, they were looking for, and expecting a Messiah. And he came just as he was supposed to, and they still missed him. Now that's a message I want you to hear down deep in your heart. You're expecting a Messiah to come back any time. Don't miss him. Don't get so caught up in theology that you miss the reality and the beauty of the return of the King of Kings. We've got to keep our hearts right. And to keep your heart right, you got to love God and love your neighbor. All your neighbors, even the ones you don't like. I'm not kidding. You got to love your neighbor. So look around you. See all these people in here? You got to love them. Last thing Doug said up here to me, he says, I love you. That's what I like about this church. There's a lot of love in here. A lot of love. And so you need to come and dip your heart into the love that's in this church on a regular basis. Because that's going to give you the strength to face some of the things you have to face at home, out in the world. Don't bring any of your hatred in here. Don't bring any of your anger and your resentment. This is a place where you're supposed to love each other. This is the family of God place. This is a place of joy and resources and refueling and liking each other. Even when you disagree with each other, you still love each other because you're family. Like I started to say, you can expect his return to be exactly the way it's supposed to be when it happens. The second return is going to fulfill every one of the prophecies that was told about him. They're all going to line up and bloop, 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 they're going to fall in place. Our King is coming. Before the cross, Jesus was very guarded with his conversations about his life and his plans. He was very careful who he talked to and how he talked to them. So if you turn to the book of Mark, we're going to look at that. Now, this is just my personal belief here, and I'll tell you when I know that I know. But I tell you that I think that I know. This is one of those I think I knows, okay? And that is, I believe the seals of the book of Revelation, when the seals are broken, I believe all of those seals are before the rapture. I know that's not a popular belief in this church, okay? But I tell you that because I think they're being broken right now. I think you're beginning to watch the unfolding of the pre-pangs of Christ's return. And because I sense that and because I feel that, I have no other choice, folks, but to tell you, get yourselves ready. Okay, I've said that for years. I've been accused of saying it way too much, so I gave up. I stopped telling you on a regular basis. Well, it's time for me to remind you once again, the time is close, very close. So you need to be able to recognize that the seals, if the seals are broken like I believe they will be before, see, Revelation is not in all chronological order. It goes and then it goes back, then it goes and it goes back. And so when you get to chapter 4, we know that there is a climax of John is going up and he's caught up and he sees all of heaven opened up. He sees the throne of God. He sees the 24 elders. He gets to see the Lamb come forward. And who can open the Lamb's Book of Life? Nobody in heaven, nobody on earth, nobody under the earth. Only one can. Everybody starts crying because nobody can open the Lamb's Book of Life. And then all of a sudden, boom, Jesus comes forward. And then they say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who is able to open the Lamb's Book of Life. Who was dead, who was slain, who is living again. He picks up the book. And he's able to open the book. When it's time to open the book of life, that's when the culmination of history really happens. So I believe that that happens, but I believe then we go forward to that, and then when you get, he starts unfolding the story, it's like he's saying it past tense. In other words, he comes forward, he hears, sees what's going on, and then the Lamb's Book of Life is opened, and then John gets to see what's already happened, and that's the seals being broken. So they happen before that Lamb's Book of Life is opened. That's my direction that I see taking place in the book of Revelation. So you see all those seals opening. The first seals opening is a man on a white horse who's a bad dude, okay? And he's going to bring devastation on the planet. Then you see famine, you see pestilence, you see all the things that Jesus is talking about in the book of Mark. And then when you get to the end of the seals, then there's going to be total Holocaust, okay? There's going to be tribulation like never before on this planet. You're not going to be here for that, so don't get too concerned about it. You can read about it, you can hear about it, but I can give you the assurances, those who are listening, who are waiting, who are watching, who are ready, won't miss the return of Jesus Christ. It will be obvious. So therefore, relax. You may have a rough few days here on this planet, and I assume we will. I expect the guest lines are going to get longer as they begin to strain us, because that's what they're doing. They're intentionally straining us so that we don't have gas, and that means that's going to stop the food supply, which means your grocery store shelves are going to start getting emptier, and as the grocery shelves get emptier and emptier, it's going to be harder and harder to find food and resources. That's why you need to have some food on hand to get you through. Have a plenty of water and plenty of food, and then you can hunker down and you can be ready and wait. Now, how soon is that going to happen? I don't know. I just know that I'm seeing the birth pangs, and I'm seeing them every time I turn around and look. But I don't just see them when I turn on the news. I see them in the populations of the planet. And I think that's one of the reasons why God sent me to Cuba. Okay? I mean, I knew I had a reason to go. And I knew part of the reason was because I needed to have that for myself. God knew that he needed to stir me up, okay, and get me back on my feet. But I also needed to see the Cubans. This is a people under a very strict government. This is a people who are restricted in how they move and how they act. This is the people who come together congregating in churches that are and we had tarps over our head. And one of the largest churches in the southern part of Cuba where I was speaking, teaching in the seminario, that church, they came in, they blew off the roof, they jackhammered the cement floor. They tried to totally destroy that church. They went in. They did all that. They left. The pastor, his name is Sammy, got a lot of zeal. He came back. He said, "That's okay." And they put up some sticks and they ran some tarps over the place. And they're rebuilding right where it was. And people, the church doubled in size. It didn't hurt them whatsoever. As a matter of fact, they have a wonderful, joyful spirit about them. And they dance when they sing. I mean, they dance when they sing. I want you guys to do that, okay? I want to be able to do that. I didn't get to dance down there, but I got joyful. I'll tell you that. And it was relaxing. But you know, the thing about it was that they are excited about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, they are. Absolutely. The church in Cuba, under total communist regime, dictatorship, are excited about the return of Jesus. So excited that they're telling all of their neighbors and all of their friends. They're inviting them left and right to come to church. They're telling them that Jesus loves them. And the church is exploding. Why? Not because of great preachers, but because of great congregations who are excited about Jesus. And that's the hope we have. And I want us to have that same joy. I want you to be able to go out there into the highways and the byways and the marketplaces And when you see an empty shelf, I don't want you to get disheartened. I want you to look around you at the people who are getting disheartened and give them courage and make sure that you are the right kind of leaven, not the leaven of the Pharisees, but the leaven of the Holy Spirit that's going to permeate through our society to let people know that there is hope. There is hope. No matter how bad your situation is, Jesus will come through for you. He has for me, and he will for you. I believe the seals are taking place before chapter 4, and you are watching the unfolding of the last day. So you are in a front row seat to history. And now my question is, are you ready? These are the birth pangs. Just begin with verse 9. Okay, you ready? Verse 9 of chapter 13 of the book of Mark. And as he was going out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, Teacher, look, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left on another, which will not be torn down. Now this happened less than 40 years after Jesus said it. He said it, not one stone to be left upon another. 40 years later, it would happen. That's significant because it's exactly 70 years after the Star of Bethlehem. The Star of Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, Jesus died in 33 A.D. 40 more years, you go from the Star of Bethlehem to the destruction, you have 70 years. This was the fulfillment of Daniel's 490th weeks of years, but it fell short just 1 week of years. So 1 week of years is 7 years. We call that week of years the tribulation. And we have a whole book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, detailing events to come. Now notice I said the book of Revelation. There's no S on that. It's only one revelation. The whole book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelations of Jesus Christ. It's one completed event. One completed revelation. Now, it says in verse 3, and as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew were questioning him privately. Tell us, when will these things come about, and what will be the sign? When will all these things are going to be fulfilled? Now, notice he had four disciples who pulled him aside to ask this question. And he said he pulled them away privately. He questioned him privately. This was not among all the congregation. They got him aside and they asked him, when are these things going to take place? This was a continuing pattern of Jesus with his disciples. He would tell them a parable, then he would pull them aside, and then he would tell them the meaning of that parable. He would give a great exhortation. He'd pull them aside. He would tell the disciples. What was he doing? He was telling them the secrets to the kingdom of God. He was telling them the secrets of understanding all that's going on before them. Now, if I was one of those disciples, my brain would be getting on overload. I'm not sure I can handle all of this, Lord. This is a lot. You know, you're telling me all this, and now I'm going to hold it in my heart, just like Mary did when she was told about the baby Jesus said was you know, the Messiah. She held all these things quietly in her heart, the angels bursting forth with the shepherds, the three wise men showing up at her house with incredible gifts, the message of the angel coming to her husband saying, get out of town, they're coming to kill your baby. She held all these things quietly, reverently in her heart. She didn't know what to do with them. I wouldn't either. These are incredible messages about how the pieces of the kingdom are falling together right there in front of them. And they are. So these four disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, four favored disciples or just four willing disciples? I think they were four willing disciples. Jesus has no favorites. Now, John said, I'm his favorite. But I want John to know something. Not really, I'm his favorite. So John just thinks he's the favorite, but I know I'm the favorite. Because you know what? You are the favorite too. All of us, individually, God's favorite. God loves you that much. You are top on his list. And I've told you before, if he has a refrigerator, he's got your picture on it. and all those little pictures you drew for him. He's got them on there too. Why? Because you're his favorite. It's hard to fathom, isn't it? The King of the universe, the Lord of all lords, loves me that much. That's hope like no other hope. And that's the message you've got to hold on to no matter what takes place. Because there's nothing in this world, nothing. Not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not your parents. Nothing in this life is compared to the love you are to have for your master and he is to have for you. Don't let anything or anybody stand in the way. So Peter, James, and John, they were willing. They said, they were the ones asking the question, tell us, when will these things come about? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? And Jesus, pulling them away privately, says, okay, here's the scoop. Are you ready? I like that. Private conversation. These things that talked about are happening. Okay, he said, tell us when these things are going to be. What is the sign? When are these things going to be fulfilled? Jesus says, there's not going to be a sign, except the sign. Okay, there's not going to be a real evident sign. You just going to have to watch. Okay. He said it like this. Jesus began to say to them, verse 5, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name saying, I am he, and they will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are only the beginning of birth pangs. I believe those things are happening. I think if you take a real strong look at the world, you're going to find that that's what's happening right now. Jump down to verse 30. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Watch out, stay alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. You do not know when the appointed time is. If you knew when it was, you'd probably just live your life precariously until that moment happened and you'd just get ready that day before. But no, he doesn't want you to know. He said if a thief was going to come to your house and steal you blind, if you knew he was coming, you'd prepare for it. But you don't know when he's coming. So what are you going to do? You get prepared for him anyway. Because he could come any second. I mean, any second he could come. And that's a good thing, guys. That's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I told you, I became a Christian in 1970. 50 years later, well, guess what? That's 2020. So I've been a Christian over 50 years. I've had my own year of Jubilee. But let me tell you, that's also exciting because Tom and I were talking before the service this morning about the year of Jubilee. Somewhere he's got that this is the year of Jubilee. And I said, I thought the year of Jubilee was when we talked about with Jonathan Kahn and the Harbingers. So I'm not sure that this can be the Jubilee and that can be the Jubilee year too because there's 50 years between them. So I looked up real quick on a Jewish website, and they said that 2020 was the year on the Day of Atonement that was the 50-year Jubilee. But if that's the case, we all missed it. It takes a whole year to get through the year of Jubilee, and it's possible that the dating could be off a little bit. But we are close, so we're around the time of the year of Jubilee. I'll just put it that way. And the year of Jubilee is to take place right after the Feast of the Trumpets, the sound of the blowing of the trumpets. And so it's on the Day of Atonement when all the debts are settled. Well, I can tell you it's on the Day of Atonement that all the debts were settled on the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins. All debts are settled. All debts. All those debts that you owe to whoever on this planet, they're all settled because of Jesus Christ. They're all wiped clean. You're good to go. So, get your ticket for the train and just wait for it to come pick you up. And it's going to be okay. Now, so I believe that, when we get to that point, we have to recognize that, you know, there's going to be a rough time. Go back to verse 9. It says, be on your guard, for they will hand you over to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. Now, that's important to note. First of all, there's a key in there that you need to recognize who that's for. He's talking to Jewish people because he says, flogged in the synagogues. How many of you go to a synagogue? We're not Jews. So he's not talking to us. He's talking to the people in Israel. If you watch what's going on in Israel, it's getting tough over there, but it's going to get worse. But some of the things that he's talking about are going to take place from the temple site, and it's going to take place with the new temple. We don't have a new temple yet. So that's why I say we're in the birth pangs, and I believe whoever this dude is that's going to step up and take over the reins running this planet, he's going to open up the door to the building of a new temple. And when he says that, all of a sudden there's going to be a new temple. He's going to put it right there in Jerusalem, and he's going to get the Nobel Peace Prize because he's going to do it in such a way he'll draw the Jews and the Gentiles and the Muslims and the Christians all together under one umbrella, and he's going to have a heyday. Who is this guy on the white horse in the first seal that's going to be broken? People have had lots of guesses. Well, he's not on the scene yet because the world is still divided. But we're getting close to having a global reset of our economy. A global reset is when we're going to balance out all the economies of the world. And that's going to be tough on Americans because we've been spoiled. So it's going to be taking away our privilege. We're going to have the same struggles of food lines and gas lines and things like that. And, you know, I went to get gas. I was so excited at Kroger yesterday because I bought a couple of gift cards. And right now, for the weekend, if you buy a gift card, you get 4 times the reward points on your gas. And so I put my card in, and I had 80 cents off per gallon. 80 cents off. So I only had to pay $3.29 a gallon for my gas. That's with 80 cents off. I filled up my tank, 16 gallons, just over $50. That's with 80 cents per gallon off. And they tell me it's going to get worse. Unless we open up our own pipelines in this country, and we keep buying oil from other countries, they've got the squeeze on us. They can charge what they want to. And you'll have to pay it if you want gas. That's part of the birth pangs. So be frugal. Maybe you won't be taking as long of trips in your cars and so forth, but be frugal. And spread it all out and get yourself all prepared. So he's going to be in the synagogues, you're going to be flogged. That's the Jews over there. And it's also talking about the famines and so forth. Have you watched the commercials lately? There's lots of commercials of Jews who are starving to death. And you can buy whole meals for a Jew for a week for $21 or something like that. And they're begging for people to make donations. And the same thing is true with Ukraine. They're trying to get food packages to all these people that are, but we're talking millions at this point, that, you know, that are fleeing and they don't have anything because they left everything behind. And because they've left everything behind, they don't have anything. And so they're begging people to make donations so that they can have enough food to eat for a week. Now, so we are watching the birth pangs in the Middle East. How soon it will spread around the world, I don't know, but I assume it's going to. So as you watch these things happening, then you know this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day and hour know no one's, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Watch out, stay alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is.